Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name's game designer Ara.
And rumor has it that Rich might actually show up today, but I think he was busy doing other things like installing video cards or something.
Yeah, well, we all know how valuable his time is these days.
Yeah, very, apparently. Far too busy to even show up to the show. I was just spending my time with the intro credits reading this statement of Itagaki. For those who are unaware, Tomonobu Itagaki is the producer of the Dead or Alive series and the Ninja Gaiden games.
Was.
Well, he's the producer for all of the ones that you can play now.
All right, but he's not producing very much right now.
Yeah, no, he's done. I guess he laid a statement out saying that, you know, he quits and he sues Tecmo, and it's really kind of an interesting story. Just sort of, wow, oh my god, Ninja Gaiden 2 is out, and now you're quitting.
Yeah, this kind of struck a chord in me because it's very interesting how a dispute like this comes out publicly, because I've...
By him making a statement to the press?
Yeah, well, specifically about you basically, it was, you guys said you would give me royalties and you're not going to give me royalties or bonus or whatever, right? And, yeah, I've experienced many times in my game development career, for more than one place, actually, and more than one time, situations where they were like, oh, you're going to get a bonus. No, you're not going to get a bonus later on. So,
What was the potential for bonus based on?
Well, here's the funny thing, right? It's like, usually they say it's based on sales, and then usually they like to, you know, if said company decides to be unscrupulous, you know, they have ways of saying, oh, you know what, it didn't meet our, you know, expectations.
So, like, so, it didn't sell as many as we thought it would,
right,
that,
so like,
that would define you getting a bonus?
Right, so it's basically like, oh, yeah, we have a metric that we'll use to determine if you get a bonus, and we won't tell you what that is. And then, so, you know, later on, it'll be like, oh, yeah, you didn't meet the, we didn't meet our expectations, so, you know, you can't get the bonus, or whatever, right? This has happened, I mean, I know that more than one company has done it in the past. I know that every single situation where there's numbers involved, even back when I worked in the magazine business, and, you know, the big number in the magazine business is your circulation, right? It's lies all the time.
You mean they just tell you it's only being circulated to so many?
Right, or they don't, you know, they tell us something, and they tell advertisers another number, right? Or they have their own internal number, and they tell their advertisers or their auditors another number, right? And it's just like, you know, it doesn't surprise me that this has surfaced, is basically what I'm saying. Although I find it really interesting and kind of cool about the way that it surfaced, because this
that
whole...
he's just being ballsy and saying F off?
Yes. And the other thing that was fantastic was that statement that he released to English speakers, right, through his translator. The line that I was looking for, maybe you can find it in there before the show, where he was basically like... You would never hear this line in any kind of piece of American legalese. It's basically like, you promised this to me, and I can't believe you're being so dishonorable or whatever.
So what it says in the statement, and this is from Kotaku, right? So they put it on their website, and I'm just reading it from there. President Yoshimi Yasuda chose not only to violate this agreement, but also turned defiant, telling me, and this part's quoted, if you are dissatisfied with the decision not to pay the bonuses, either quit the company or sue it.
And he did both.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
And then the statement goes on to say, in addition, he made demeaning remarks about me to my subordinates and colleagues, causing me significant emotional distress and worsening my personal relationships and work environment. Thus, I have no choice but to resign from Tecmo Corporation or Company Limited. This is fascinating.
Yes, you know what's more fascinating?
He's always been kind of ballsy, though, telling them
yes.
that, like,
no, this
Sigma
is good.
Wasn't any good. And
this is good. I mean, like, this is very refreshing to hear honest opinions from... You know, an industry where normally everyone's like, you know, just going to be PC all the time, and we're not going to say anything really interesting. And I guess Rich is here. If you
I'm here.
If you haven't heard the
all the rustling
stumbling
in the background.
Yes. But what is more interesting is guess how much his unpaid bonuses or his damages are that he's suing for.
He's asking for 150 million yen, which is about $1.5 million, right?
Yes.
That's a lot.
I guess it would be worth $1.4 million.
A little less. $1.4 million.
Okay.
That's no chump change there. That's a big amount of money.
He produced a bunch of, you know, blockbuster AAA titles.
Yes.
I don't know if that number is really realistic. If it in Japan it's more realistic than here.
I don't know. There's actually something in there I want you to find where he basically said that, like, my boss was in a position to pay me and he didn't, right? So it's not like, I mean, he was basically like specifically calling them out for the fact that it wasn't that they didn't have like enough income to pay out a bonus, but that like they could and they just decided not to. And that kind of verbiage I thought was also very, very cool to read.
All right, well, let me read this part. He wrote in the statement, to all game fans, and I would assume that the people listening are fans of games, otherwise they probably wouldn't listen.
We are.
He says, I truly feel sorry to all the fans of the game. I truly feel sorry to all the fans of the games I have made. Ninja Gaiden 2, which will launch on the 3rd of June, will be the last Ninja Gaiden I will create. I will also never be able to make Dead or Alive 5. I regret the circumstances that have forced me to leave Tecmo, where I had worked for so many years, and I regret the disappointment this will cause my fans. However, I can no longer continue to work with President Yoshimi Yasuda, a man who chooses not to honor promises even when he is able to do so.
Yes!
I truly hope that nothing like this happens again in the future. Tecmo Company Limited Creative Officer, Leader, Team Ninja, Tomonobu Itagaki.
This is why I love the Japanese. What could I say?
You know what? This is really just Itagaki. It doesn't seem like other people, but it's refreshing because, I mean, honestly, what does he stand to lose by releasing the statement?
Well, his job.
Well, I mean, he's giving that up, right?
Right, but, so nothing.
But if it were in America, certainly lawyers would just say, no, don't release that statement. It's just going to make you look bad or whatever. And I would say, no, hell with that. Release it. He's a screwball and, you know, not Itagaki. I mean, like,
that's
he's
right.
calling them all screwballs and right. they're just giving the money. And I have no idea what the agreements really were, but whatever.
It is
nice to see. That's all.
It was like a mouthful of Listerine, but before it starts getting painful, like that time, like that 10 seconds before it starts hurting.
I like that he's taking the opportunity to speak directly to the fans. And, that's pretty much all I have to say, actually.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. However egocentric and megalomaniacal that may be, it's still pretty cool.
This seems kind of the opposite situation of, I can't remember the dude's name, but the guy that made the Brain Age, whatever it's called, where he got a gigantic bonus, and then he donated it all to, like, his whatever, some college university. To where, like, they're like, hey, here's a bunch of money. He's like, oh, I don't really want it. They can have it. And this
Are you
is
talking
like,
about the professor
hey,
guy?
You should give me money, and you didn't, and you're mean. I quit.
Yeah, whatever.
It's like the opposite. Hey, I think it's kind of funny.
Itagaki is no professor.
I'm just saying, I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, there's no telling what he would do with that. Maybe he would use that money to buy breast implants for all the young girls who want to look like the Dead or Alive characters. I mean, he could put that money to good use were it to be given to him. So I am happy to see this, that he's taken a step and he's getting out in the public and we don't have to mess around with, just guessing what's happening. He's pretty much straightforward.
Yes.
Cool.
And that was also much cooler than, although it was, that was cool too. There was, I remember it was Hideo Kojima, right? He like released some kind of statement about like, in English, about, some people have been saying that I said such and such, and I didn't. That was because some translator, you know, translated something and ended up saying something else, and I wanted to clear up whatever, you know? So, like, that was, like, also one of, like, the very few times where you could actually, like, get some insight into what, like, you know, some of these Japanese developers thought about, you know, all these interviews that people are doing with them in English, right? Because I don't know if you guys have ever been in one of those interviews, but a few times I've interviewed Japanese developers. It's like you can tell very clearly that the guy doing the translating is not doing a complete exact translation. You know, most of the time they're struggling, you know, and it's not a discredit to them, right? I mean, it's hard to translate something that quickly off the cuff like that. But even still, it's like, you know, how much of what they're really saying gets to us? This is what I'm asking.
Well, the irony there is that in order for him to know what was said that was wrong, he would need another person to translate it.
Yes.
And then to translate his new statement back.
and maybe get a new translator.
All right. Well, we'll talk about more and varied topics as soon as we're back from this break. Stay tuned, everyone.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I'm game designer Ara.
I'm Alon.
And I'm The Rich.
Rich is finally back in the studio.
The Rich, I can see you grinning because you think that you've stolen my moniker of last week.
No.
Now, we apologize to those who were trying to listen to the show live but have been forced to listen to the podcast because the live feed, apparently, at least the live internet feed, seems to be down. That's unfortunate. Of course, if you're in Phoenix, you could always listen on AM radio, KFNX 1100.
And you'd get super... awesome, clear sound,
super crystal
crisp,
clear audio.
Yeah,
provided
and
you're next to
there wouldn't be interference from other radio stations.
No, not at all.
Not
as long
at all.
As you're next to the tower, you can hear it just fine.
Yeah.
What do you have to be in Queen Creek or something? Cave Creek.
Yeah.
Difference. Doesn't matter.
They're totally different places. Maybe.
I know.
All right. Well, before we move on, I got to remind everyone to go to uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, and check out the opportunities that they make available to you. They're not really opportunities in radio or broadcasting, because if they were, then people's radios would probably work properly, you know. But I digress.
All right. I want to talk about some games.
Okay.
You guys ready for
also,
this?
Should
we have
I,
lots of games.
Should
we
I transcribe the entire show over IRC? Live?
Yes. That would be useful because then I would get to talk more and you wouldn't
okay,
talk
I'm much. Not going to do that then.
So Rich and I got to play Boom Blocks together.
Oh, we can't talk about Boom Blocks because Ara's mad because he needs to talk about Grid first.
I was just going to say, there are all these things we're going to want to talk about when you're done. With
yeah,
yes,
it's going to be at least 80 minutes of Boom Blocks talking.
Wouldn't you like that? Okay, Rich is very sassy tonight.
You know, Grid's not even out yet.
It's not.
It's coming out this week.
The demo's out.
So I'm going to say a few words about Grid, which is really interesting.
Now. Are we going to get Ninja Gaiden on the way home?
No.
No?
Why?
Because it comes out today.
So?
Dude.
All right.
I mean, it's cool and all, like cutting people's faces off and having blood squirt everywhere, but like.
Come on, the game's too hard for him.
There are
you
more
remember?
Important things. Yeah, okay. It is a hard game.
Moving right along. Okay. What about Grid? Do we want to talk about
Grid? I was before I even played the demo of this game.
What type of game is it?
Everybody was
racing.
Talking about it. It's a racing game. It's a circuit racing game. It's actually, I think, the next edition of the series of like the Pro Race Driver series that Codemasters does.
Yeah, Codemasters, that's what it was.
Yeah,
they're good.
And the first thing I heard about it was everyone was talking about, oh wow, the graphics are so incredible, graphics. So I was like, all right, that sounds like Snoozeville to me, but I'll check it out anyway. And so I'm playing this game. It's the demo, more specifically, because the game comes out this week.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, the cars in this game actually handle. And I was really, really impressed. Not only was I impressed about how good the game was in terms of like controllability and handling, but I was even more impressed at the fact that nobody I knew could identify the fact that it was actually a good game and had something beyond graphics.
No, the game was really fun.
I played it, the demo, and I could see it as being a quality game, sort of.
If you're at into least, like that type of racing game.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Racing games.
What do you mean that type? Like the type where you're
it's
racing?
It's obviously not like Burnout or Project Gotham Racing. It's not that. It's like actual like racing.
Yes, it is like.
It's trying
racing.
To be simulation.
Yeah, it's trying to be simulation.
No, it is
well,
not trying to be
simulation, but it's like trying to be more.
It's circuit racing.
Yeah, realistic-ish while not being boring as crap like Gran Turismo.
This is one of. I'm going to just forget that you said that. And this is one of
you
the great examples of a game where people, where it has a feeling of a real racing game. And by real racing, I mean like the sport of car racing, not just like driving around on a street. While at the same time, like they don't make these concessions to stay in this world of reality in terms of handling. You know, they give you the handling that you expect to get out of a car that handles really awesomely, right? Or of a race car. You know, they don't do what Forza 2 does, which I think is probably the worst example of a game where they try to be so realistic with everything that they forget that you actually have a controller in the palm of your hands, and you're not working controls of a real race car.
Yeah.
So that,
I assume you played the demo on the 360, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I downloaded the demo on the PS3 first. Oh, my Lord, I still cannot stand that controller. It is probably just the worst controller ever created. The R2 and L2 bumper trigger things are just the worst thing ever created.
You're a whiner. It's actually a really good controller.
No, they're terrible because the curve of the button goes against your finger, where your finger fits in the trigger of the 360 controller. It goes against the curve of the PS3 controller, so your finger constantly slips off the button.
All right.
I can see what he's saying.
And it's like, accelerate, and it's not. And, okay, now I'm accelerating again. And my finger slipped off again.
You're just going to have to discipline your fingers. I mean, what can
we
say?
Well, no, so I just downloaded the 360 demo, and it worked a lot better.
Or do that.
That, and it can actually display in 1080p, where the PS3 only does 720p.
You know, you could also just use the second analog stick as the gas and the brake.
What? Yeah, that's weird. You know what's really interesting, awkward. Actually? You guys, I mean, maybe you have noticed this because you had to use a Saturn controller, right?
Yeah, I did.
Recently. But whenever I get used to, like, one of the modern controllers, like, you know, a PS2 controller, or, you know, now it's the 360 controller that I'm used to because I play that all the time, right? When I go back to, like, one of the older controllers that I used to use, it feels awkward. You know, it feels like, oh, like, something's not right, like... I remember that at one point in my life, like, it just felt perfectly fine and ergonomic, but it's funny because, like, now since I'm so used to using something else for so long, so consistently, it just feels wrong, right?
What feels wrong? The Saturn controller?
No, just, like, whatever controller that I might go back to.
No, oh, yeah.
The Xbox is certainly...
The 360 controller is so beautiful. It just, like, it fits, and it's like, oh.
I agree.
The GameCube controller still feels pretty comfy, in my opinion.
Anyway, that was a little digression.
But,
so.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what you want to talk about.
Well,
Boomblocks?
We did play Boomblocks. And this is funny because I decided I wanted Boomblocks based partially on the reviews that I saw, or mostly on the reviews that I saw for it, which, believe it or not, according to Metacritic at least when I checked when the game first came out, it was tied with Super Mario Galaxy as the number 9 Wii game of all time, I guess.
The highest rated?
Yeah. It got like a 90 or something, which tied with Mario Galaxy. And so I definitely wanted it. And like I'd said in the last show, I expected it to be a puzzle game of the kind of thing like Tetris, where like you can jump in and play the game and it would always be the same experience with potentially different scores or whatever.
Right.
It turns out to be a different style of game that's still kind of puzzle-ish, but it's my favorite kind because it uses basically just it has a standardized physics, you know, rule set, which is fairly realistic, it seems, in terms of just blocks.
Or so you think it does?
Yeah. I mean, whether it does or doesn't, it appears that it does, and that's all that's necessary. And then it asks you to accomplish certain tasks, right, based off of, or putting these blocks and point blocks and whatever in the world. And so it might, like, one of the levels has a wooden frame, and inside that frame, there are a lot of rectangular blocks just squeezed into it to completely fill that frame, kind of like a picture made up of, let's say, a quilt pattern, right? So there's a bunch of different blocks in it. And then if you throw a lot of the game involves throwing a baseball or a bowling ball or some other ball at the screen virtually. And so you might throw it at a block that's within this frame, and if you take out a few of them, then the ones above it would drop down, and if they drop, then you get the points for them and whatever. And I just find it really intriguing because that's one style of level. There might be a totally different level that's more like Jenga and you have to pull out the blocks and, you know, obviously try not to make it topple and whatever. And so Rich, he's like, all right, well, let me come see this game. Yeah, we're going to talk about how you suck?
No, okay. Let me just, wait a minute.
Okay. Was Boomblocks too hard for you, Rich?
This game is made for everybody.
It's like dumb.
He couldn't control it.
But it's like, okay, this is what it is. The game, single player, don't play it. It's useless. It's worthless. Just don't play it.
It's actually a lot of fun.
No, it's not. Yeah, I played it for like an hour and not a single time did I think, wow, this is fun.
But you played it back when you weren't able to use the controller.
That I don't think that matters.
The
game itself is boring.
It took me two games
to figure out the control scheme, which is one thing that was really weird to me. Like, the Wii, you know, obviously is the system for, like, all these new people playing games that don't play games because it's an approachable control scheme. Like, for me, playing games my entire life, I could not figure this out. And I still don't throw it like it should be thrown. I basically fling my hand straight up in the air and let go of the A button, which is not simulating throwing a baseball.
Yeah, he's a
in
freak,
any form.
Dude.
It's the only way
Does
I can
work?
Get this
it's
thing
like he's
to work.
Bowling into the sky.
It works perfect. I get a power throw every time, but it's the only way I can get it to work. It's just it won't work any other way for
this
me.
This is proof that Rich is simply defective.
Well, but as much as I would love
you need to try
to support
this, Ara.
Any kind of position that would indicate that Rich is defective, I think that this sounds to me like that problem that a lot of developers are having with the Wii, which is everybody makes the same motion or what they think is the same motion with the Wii controller.
And they're different.
Differently. And you think that you're doing a throw some way and you're really doing it totally different.
Yep.
Anyway, we'll be back after this break.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
All right, we're back with Rich, and our SingStar employee.
Yeah!
And this is why we don't play Rock Band with vocals.
This is why I play
Rich.
Drums on Rock Band.
All right, so listen to this.
It's our streaming.
That is our streaming, which is should be like 50 seconds behind
or
something.
I told them it was streaming.
So it seems to be working.
Okay,
apparently,
now it's back.
Wait. If we turn the streaming on,
I like how,
and then hook up the microphone to it, and then stop talking, will the show just do itself?
I think it will.
Dude.
It also seems to work in Winamp
time
now.
Travel paradox.
All right. Anyway.
Thanks, Ara.
So what was the point of us telling people that the stream works? Because if they're wanting to listen to it live, they would not hear that.
It's just to let the world know
so
that
the
our
podcasters
stuff is not terminally
broken. They got it fixed.
I don't want them to think that they can't come back next week.
Okay.
I understand where I'm coming
but
from.
But if they're listening from a podcast, they would assume that the podcast would still work.
All right, pipe down.
Continue.
I also should point out that it has nothing to do with KFNX or with us. It's a failure of the provider, the streaming provider.
The internet's broke. The tubes got clogged.
The company Surfer Network that's involved in it, whatever. They were down for a while. But anyway, they're up. So we were talking about Boom Blocks. So Rich
yeah,
has
we
this,
were.
This inability to throw a virtual ball, which is fascinating. I mean, he throws like a girl to begin with, but to see the ball
I would throw
just
a
sort
real
of
ball farther than
putter,
you any day.
Putter in the screen, he can't even toss the ball, and it was fascinating how badly he played, and I was just wiping him up.
Yeah, and, actually, I was just relating to him while you were doing your
tech
support
moment.
Thing. That, when I first started playing Wii Bowling, I actually didn't play too many times because it was, for some reason, really hard for me to pick up what that rhythm was of the motion and the hold and release. And, like, it just didn't click with me. So I was just like, all right, well, I'll go play something else.
And that's something I was saying. For me, I picked up Wii Bowling, like, immediately. Like, I figured it out really quickly.
You know, I've got Boom Blocks in my car. We can hook it up to the TV right now.
Yeah, no.
No.
Do you realize these lights would just mess everything up?
Turn the lights off.
All right, enough,
that's an impossibility.
Enough with the light complaining.
No, it's a legitimate complaint.
Okay, I want to complain about something completely different.
AI?
No, I got to keep talking about Boom Blocks.
We're going to
Boom Blocks. So, another thing I like about this, like I said, it takes a single set of, well, I don't know about a single set, but it takes a set of physics rules and applies them to whatever world.
Mm-hmm.
And what's, I haven't even messed with it, but you can make your own levels too.
Are you getting kickbacks from Spielberg or
no,
what?
No, one of the levels involves just setting up all these point blocks, on a shelf, right? You're from behind the blocks and you want to throw the ball into the block and have the block fly over into, basically into this plane that's out in the distance. And by plane, I don't mean airplane, but I mean like a rectangle.
A rectangular prism?
Yes. Something like that. And it has a multiplier on it. So if it hits the 10 multiplier, then great, times 10 for your block and whatever. And so it was great because it was Michaela and Rich and I all playing. And, they're throwing it at it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to screw them. And I changed the view.
That was funny.
I shifted over to the side. So I'm looking at all these blocks that are lined up left to right. I'm looking at them from the side. So I just see one of them. And behind that one are many other blocks. And I just whip that ball as hard as I can at the block on the side, not intending to hit the multiplier at all. But now I screw up all the block that they were trying to shoot. Now it's really hard for them to get any points at all. So basically I got a lead, and then I screwed them up. And I just like the fact that you can do that. You can be more creative and just find another solution to your problem of, wanting to win that you know, game, that level, by getting more points than other people.
And the solution is being a massive asshole.
So, something like that. Just,
basically.
You know, preventing them from being able to score, which is, it's just good. I like that. It's a good game. Anyway.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a fun game. It was extremely frustrating for about 4 hours.
It grew on Rich.
No, like,
so
I was,
you actually
like
it now? Is this
yeah,
what you're saying?
Yeah, it's actually fun. Like, I played it by myself, and I was bored as all can be. And then I watched Michaela and Alon play, and I'm like, hey, this actually looks fun multiplayer. And then I played it, and I was like, I hate this game. It's like the most frustrating game I've ever played in my life. I can't stand it. And then I played the next day when I figured out my weird throw that looks nothing like throwing a baseball, but it works awesome. And I swept Michaela, and then Alon came in, and it was a pretty close game. It was like, it was between the two of us.
It does have its downsides. You can actually, like, when you play multiplayer, you play, you know, there might be seven different types of levels in the game that you're playing, because there's lots of different types of games. And so you go from one, and it keeps your score, and then you roll into the next one, and your score rolls over. But at any point during the, you know, when you're finished with one level going to another, if some idiot, like Rich, hits the B button, it cancels out the game.
Because,
forget the points that you had, you're back to the menu screen.
I'm the kind of guy that between games, I'm throwing the controller in the air and, like, spinning around on the Wii strap thing. It's just because I'm stupid.
Yeah.
And I hit the B button a lot because it's, like, right there. And we constantly get kicked out of games because I'm throwing the Wii remote around.
Yeah, it's the one game that doesn't have a, are you sure you want to exit?
This is before the game starts.
No, this is, like, in between games.
In between
levels.
You
finish the round, and then you can just hit the B button, and it just goes, okay, done. And it doesn't be like, are you sure?
There's no warning.
Yeah. See, they should have hired me as a designer, and then you wouldn't have this problem.
Anyone could have designed this, no offense. I mean, the game itself is fun, despite its flaws and huge learning curve.
Speaking of flaws, you also tried to play Haze recently, right?
Oh, my Lord.
This follows the classic trend that Alon has identified years ago, that all Ubisoft games are unplayable. Am I right?
It's not an Ubisoft game. It's a Free Radical game that happens to be published by Ubisoft.
I bet you the QA team was hired by Ubisoft.
Do you like Beyond Good and Evil? That was a good game. That was published by Ubisoft. That game was awesome.
Okay. Diamond in the
Rough,
buddy.
Point taken. Point taken. Proven. I don't know. Whatever.
Wait, you can't say point taken. You're the one making the point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No.
All right, no. Tell me about this.
Okay, this game, I think it's been getting worse reviews than it deserves. It's been getting like 5 out of 10 and stuff like that. I think it's about 75% there. The driving controls are just horrendous. Like, not even close to even controllable.
Did Johnny go on to you about how you can't actually play? Like, you can't invite friends? It has a feature to invite friends. It just doesn't function?
That flaw is broken right now, and apparently they're trying to fix it.
Wait, what kind of game is this?
It's a first-person shooter.
Okay, there's vehicles just because Halo has vehicles.
No, right? There's vehicles because it's kind
of
cool.
But it doesn't function.
But okay.
My point is that it has all these features in the game that flat out do not work.
They don't work right
Johnny
now.
Actually called Ubisoft, and they're like, yeah, we know about it. We don't know if
you know why they don't work is because Xbox Live isn't a standard on the PlayStation Network, so they don't have to work. If it was an Xbox 360
why
game.
Why are we mixing a sentence that involves Xbox Live and PlayStation Network? And
I'm just
trying
saying,
to accomplish something?
If it was a 360 game, these features would have to work before Microsoft would let them release this game into a store.
Oh, okay.
Is what I'm saying.
Well,
but
I mean, they still have standards
not.
That you have to meet.
Sony doesn't care about their online stuff. They go, you do whatever you want. That's really what it comes down to. It's a matter
of
Ubisoft.
I think Aura might have some input on this.
It's a matter of Ubisoft not caring if it worked or not.
I've stopped caring about this whole discussion.
Do you not agree with that?
Doesn't it bother you that they released a game that's flat out broken?
But I haven't played it, and I have no interest in that game. So.
I'm just saying.
Generally speaking.
Generally it does.
The online thing is broken. It needs to be fixed. But other than that, the game itself.
This is, remember that whole thing years ago where they said, oh, we can patch games and this is going to cause games to come out that are broken.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And everyone said, no, it won't. It'll just be for features and new stuff.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And look what happened. I mean, even with freaking Brain Challenge, okay?
I mean, not
just
all
started
games
playing
suffer
on
from
Xbox.
This.
Yeah, but there's
I mean,
like
Halo 3
a lot.
Didn't come out and it wasn't completely broken and then they fixed it.
No,
that game
but
worked.
It's becoming almost like the de facto like level of acceptability that the game will come out and not all its features will work. I have in Brain Challenge, okay, on the title screen.
I don't know what that is.
It's like a Brain Age game.
What,
it's on Xbox Live Arcade.
Don't even talk about that.
What are you, like Jim Cramer? Come on. That was actually a pretty cool game that I want to talk about, but my point is that there's a menu option on the title screen that does not work.
What?
Okay. On the title screen. Yeah, I can't look
at
my...
Are you playing the demo or the full
game? No, I bought the whole game. Okay, it's the full game.
Can I say something quick?
No, I want to hear this.
Yeah. No, so we can finish Haze and then talk about this next segment.
Zip it.
Can we just finish Haze really quick?
Okay, we're
going to talk about Haze next segment then. Go.
Zip it. Yeah, you go to leaderboards and you can't access leaderboards.
It just doesn't come up?
It says that I can't access leaderboards because of something, right? Which
is
makes
it because
no
you're
sense.
You're not an Xbox Live Gold member?
I was thinking it might be because of that, but it's Xbox Live's advertised standard that as a silver member, you can access leaderboards.
Interesting.
So,
all right.
I have lodged my complaints with the respective authorities.
What I don't understand is other games have leaderboards and the numbers on them don't seem to mean anything. But anyway, we'll be back next segment. We will make sure not to talk about Haze.
We're going
to
talk about it.
Not going to talk about it.
Talk about it.
We'll be right back.
Talk about it.
Welcome back, y'all. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
With Alon.
And Rich.
And Ara. And
ah!
I am neither a doctor nor a medicine addiction specialist.
That's disappointing.
Yeah,
so now,
well, just in case people think that they're listening to Loveline.
Just get on that.
To avoid talking about Haze, I'll remind everyone to go to uat.edu. Once again, the website for our fantastic sponsor, the University of Advancing Technology. During the break, I was telling you apparently there's a game coming out that's going to utilize some, you know, television's 3D technology.
Lula?
No, it was totally different. I was just searching Joystick or Kotaku or something for 3D, and I couldn't to try and find the article. Right, came up as an old article. But what I was talking about is Ubisoft's Avatar game, which sounds to me like that cartoon Avatar. Are we familiar with this?
Yeah,
Avatar, the Airbender, the game that you can get all your achievement points in 2 minutes,
based on
the...
I'm talking about a totally different game.
Cartoon.
It's got the name Avatar.
No.
The article implies that it's going to be a movie or something. And
well, Avatar's a cartoon.
I don't know. It's hard to understand this. But Ubisoft has decided, apparently, that it's going to work with certain 3D-capable TVs and certain glasses.
Cool.
And I was curious, like, would that be a driver to sell these televisions? Would anyone actually care? Do you think there's potential in the games industry to create games that actually...
Well, there are already PC games that... are capable of, like, the 3D monitors.
Well, there's a million things you can do on a PC,
you know,
and the question is,
but
are people actually doing these
things? It hasn't been
picked
up, because a lot of people don't buy it, because it's
did
like...
Did I ever tell you I played Guitar Hero 3 in 3D at...
No, don't care.
At some event?
See, Guitar Hero 3,
that,
like,
that just
who
painful,
cares
really?
If that's in, like, 3D, you know?
Well, yeah, clearly, it doesn't really matter, like, but just to demonstrate the, you know, the technology.
I had my fill of 3D with the Virtual Boy.
Oh, dude, the Virtual Boy was awesome.
It was kind of like awesome, but on the threshold of pain at the same time.
So they didn't announce what TVs and what glasses we're talking about. It's probably the Samsung TVs that are 3D capable that nobody seems to own, but I guess are on sale right now. I'm just curious. Like, this is really intriguing to me, but at the same time, you know, unless it's universal or at least very, very common, it's not something I would be interested in being a part of, because it'd just be a waste of money.
Yeah.
R doesn't seem to think it would be valuable, but Rich, would you have any interest in actually doing that? Like, would you pop on the glasses consistently to play games in 3D?
You don't need glasses to have 3D.
Rich is like, I just crossed my eyes.
This particular technology utilizes glasses.
I would not wear glasses to use 3D. I'm saying, like, the sharp monitors they have, monitors that project in 3D without glasses, by what they do is they display two images, mirror, like exact images, slightly askew from each other. So what your eyes do is when they see it, they think it's a 3D image, because your eyes are obviously not seeing the same image. They say it's two different images, and they mesh those images together.
Yeah, it's some weird technology that
so
is irrelevant to the conversation.
So unexcuse that.
That sounds like a cock and bull
saying,
story.
So what that is those kind of monitors, what they do is they project an image that appears 3D to you without wearing glasses. Because 3D red, blue glasses or anything like that, not interested at all.
All right. Well, I don't know if you've ever used... actual cool working 3D,
but I know of other glasses that are better than red, blue, whatever, but
like,
I still
like the Sega 3D glasses on the Master System.
But I still wouldn't want to wear headgear to play a game.
I would, dude. I'd be
not
totally
glasses.
If it's head tracking, I would totally be wearing that.
Head tracking would be kind of cool, but
yeah,
But I'm saying, like, to get 3D, I know there are ways to do it without glasses, and I would prefer those ways.
You mean, like, buying a $5,000 monitor?
No, it's a $500 monitor, to be exact.
You are full of crap.
Sir. Ingesting copious amounts of LSD.
I'll look it up for you.
Let's do it.
There's a $500 monitor. It's either 15 or 17 inches for a PC.
Good. The day I see you playing on a 15-inch monitor. Right, so...
I have a 15.4-inch monitor on my laptop. I would get a 17-inch. That's more than enough.
So another thing I did before you guys got to the studio, I was looking at some game trailers, and I saw a trailer for Bionic Commando multiplayer.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually really curious about this game, because I'm like, you know, I like to be optimistic, but there's just, I can't be with this game. I just can't.
What it made me question is why every game coming out these days has decided to be a first-person shooter.
Wait, what are we talking about?
It seems like the only multiplayer game that exists these days is Mario Kart and first-person shooters.
I disagree.
Like Bionic Commando. Do you remember playing Bionic Commando? Did you ever play
it? I've played
it. You were too young, really.
I mean, I was born...
When it came out.
Did you see the Hitler head explode at the end?
No, yeah, I've seen it. Not like me playing it, no.
Yeah, because that would actually be hard to do.
Yeah, that would be extremely hard.
It's actually ridiculous if you think about it. That last level of the game, that last moment, you have to swing and make this jump, but you have no idea what you're leaping into. And there's this little, like, inset, like, core that's, like, has this, like, kind of, like, you know, you're basically, like, shooting down, like, the Star Wars trench thing, except you can only see where you're going to shoot for, like, 0.35 seconds as it scrolls into the screen, and if you miss, then you're just like effed. That's it.
All right. Well, I don't remember at all.
That's old school. That's so old school that everyone would like to
totally
forget
know
about
what you're
that.
Talking about. I mean, I've seen a video of it.
Bottom line,
good game, but mostly a platformer.
Yeah, and don't want it in 3D.
They're turning this game into a first person shooter.
I know why. Version of the game looks good.
I can tell you why. They're turning all these games into first-person games.
That's not a first-person game.
Well, I want to hear your
Bionic
thoughts.
Commando is not a first-person game.
It's third-person shooter.
It's a third-person.
It's the same thing, dude. It's got a reticle on the screen.
It's just what's popular now. Yeah. You know? They're just look, we can show things cinematically with this perspective.
They're trying to copy Gears of War while not having as good controls.
But I've got the feeling that they want to be able to put multiplayer gaming in, and they're just making it that kind of game because they know that it's suitable in order to have multiplayer.
Yeah, I think they're making it that type of game because in general, I think that the whole like development community or the publishing community just decided that, okay, well, this type of perspective in the game is most palatable to consumers now. And so even though it might hurt the game to make it this way, we're going to make the game that way anyway.
But it's so much more interesting if they could have come up with some sort of multiplayer component using the old school mechanics.
I totally agree, but that like... Well, they feel that to people, it's not like dramatic or cinematic enough. It's like
that game could be so dramatic.
Well, they're making an XBLA version.
No,
Fracture.
That's the one where it's just the chick running on rooftops and stuff.
Oh, that's Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge, whatever.
Fracture is a game by somebody.
All right, so apparently LucasArts. I'm totally giving you the wrong name, but
Fracture's by LucasArts.
Mirror's Edge. Chick's running on buildings, right?
That looks so sweet.
Imagine she has a claw. That's all. Imagine she has a claw. And now put that in some multiplayer environment, create some goals.
Oh, yeah.
It could be
way
very
better
interesting
than
and
what?
Not ever have to shoot a gun. Because
Bionic Commando looks really bad from the footage I've seen of it. It just looked bad.
Okay, here's...
It actually looks a little bit fun.
I will encapsulate and summarize everything right now in about 2 minutes.
Okay. No,
it's
I have
like,
to talk about Haste,
it's like
though.
Food... It's like, okay, I'll do it in 20 seconds.
Okay.
It's like logos for food products, okay? Like, you go and you look at, like, the logo for Cookie Crisp right now.
Cookie Crisp.
It's like embossed. It's, like, shiny. It's got, like, 13 different, like, bezels on it, you know? If you look at, like, the history of these logos, before they were, like, plain, maybe one or two colors. Then a couple of years later, like, oh, we got to update it. They made it, like, you know, pop out a little bit. Then later on, like, they added, like, an extra bezel or they, like, changed the colors. And, like, now they feel like... This is what they're doing with like some of these features in games. They feel like, you know, they have to keep this bezeled logo of, you know, first-person shooteriness, right? Otherwise, because people won't find like the old-school 2D type of look, you know, modern. It doesn't look modern enough.
I don't need it to be 2D. And to be honest,
you're a minority.
Adding the claw into the Mirror's Edge would be really bad news. right? Because it's first person.
Dude, that'd be sweet. What are you talking about?
A third person game that has goals without shooting, right? Goals involving a dude who can run around and use that claw to grab stuff,
yeah.
And to, you know, bring himself up to new places would be really interesting. And now that they've introduced shooting into it, all the cool mechanics and gameplay systems that could have been developed are completely gone.
Well, you have to shoot. You have to shoot something.
You don't have to shoot.
What are you going to shoot? Who's going to die? What's going to blow up? Okay.
I need to say my thing about Haze before we leave.
You have 10 seconds.
All right. AI and Haze, horrendous. Everybody who does this stupid AI thing where if you shoot people on your team that are AI characters and they decide, hey, that's not cool and want to shoot you, don't do that in games. Because what you do is you're shooting at an enemy and the AI walks in front of you and gets shot. And they think, hey, that's not cool. And then they shoot you. And I call that douchebag AI and I don't like it. So stop it.
All right, it's patented by Rich. Don't use that.
Trademark.
Trademark, whatever.
Whatever. Because that's... Right.
End of the show, kids. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.